promised you that tonight we'd be careful on the time on the service, and so I'm going to condense what I've spoken on, we'll speak on down to some few thoughts here tonight, and I might expand on it. These are subjects that I have dealt with before in a little bit different way, but as we've been looking at how Satan has his traps for us, one of the key things that I have seen as the place that he is able to gain ground in many a believer is not in areas that we would normally think. We've had to deal with all of the aspects of the world that Satan can get into us and to get us to think improperly. We've looked at the whole movement of Bible Christianity and how Satan is able to influence that when we're not walking in true faith, and that can have a great deal to undermine the victory that God wants us to have. But there's a very simple, and maybe one of the biggest ones, is just discouragement in the Christian's life. As I have worked with folks over the years, and they've come to me and they're discouraged because they have gotten into something again and had some defeat in their life, it's usually preceded by a downtime. And that's one of the most dangerous places you can be. Now, last week we talked about anger and unforgiveness and how all of those are devices of Satan that he can use in our lives, and we can give ground to the devil. But just having a lack of optimism, being discouraged, being depressed, you are focused on self, and therefore you are wide open then to Satan being able to attack. J.O. Frazier faced one of the most difficult mission fields anyone could face, and he was there alone a lot of the time. And he had to fight this matter of discouragement, and he knew the very real battle with Satan. And he's made this statement after the victory had come, and as he looked back on his life, he says, "All discouragement is of the devil. Discouragement is to be resisted just like sin. To give way to the one is just as bad and weakens us as much as to give way to the other." And I would say, folks, that we have to come to the conviction in our lives that discouragement cannot continue on in our life if we want to serve the Lord. We put ourselves in a place of great vulnerability, and it is not the will of God for us to be discouraged. Now, let me stop here for a minute. As pastor, I am very aware of physiological issues that can come up. And I have walked through this kind of situation with many, many people. Someone has an onset of diabetes and they don't know it. They don't know why they're thinking like they do. There can be other kinds of hormonal issues in people's lives. There can be other physiological issues that come. And so that can be an issue. But I'm talking about the normal course of life where we allow ourselves, because of circumstances and because of the stress and anxiety that we're feeling, to cave into the emotions of self-pity, self-focus, and allow that darkness to come over our life. And we escape into whatever the trouble is, and we usually pick one thing and focus on that. And it's something that we have to see as not something that's just we're going to become victim of, but it's something that, yes, sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down. That's how our lives go. We're emotionally, God made us that way. But ongoing discouragement that allows Satan then to tempt us and to overcome us, we can have mastery over. We don't need to be a victim. And so it often starts with anxiety for numbers of reasons, or great disappointments, stress, feeling overwhelmed, and then that anxiety causes us to get into a just a within a curtain of discouragement, and we're looking at everything through that grid of the negative type of perspective. Now, folks, things can be bad, but you don't have to be discouraged. What are we supposed to do when a trial comes? James chapter 1, count it all joy. Now, I say this again carefully because folks do go through some very difficult situations. But we need to understand that the Bible means what it says when it says, count it all joy. The Bible means what it says, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Peace and joy are a decision of the will, and they are supernatural realities that are not based on circumstances. They are based on the presence of God in us, giving us His joy and giving us His peace that counteracts the human feelings that we have. Now, I've said this many times, but you've got to get this. Did you know you can have genuine peace and joy in your heart and have tears? Have an ache in your heart? Realize you're up against a real problem. This is not good. But yet there's power. The power of God within you. Now, folks, accessing God's grace, God's enabling power, accessing this that God has promised us, which comes from His very life, accessing this is our choice by faith, and it is not based on circumstances. We are human. We're going to feel things deeply. But we have to come to the conclusion in our lives that we will give place to the devil, we'll give him ground, we're going to fall to, we are not ignorant of his devices, but we're going to fall for his devices if we collapse into discouragement. We do not access God's grace. God never wants us to live in darkness. We may have sadness. We may have reality of difficulties coming. We may sorrow greatly at the moment of someone's death. But right through those situations, we're not focused on ourselves. We're not focused on fear. We're not focused on being out of control. If we will look to God, even with all those emotions running, we can have joy and peace. And we could have glorious testimonies right now of how real that is. I've said it so often, my best moments in life have been when it shouldn't have been my best moment. I just got a wonderful God that stepped in. It's a sweet thing. I'm telling you, when Jesus is there, everything's okay. When His presence is real, I mean, your heart can be aching and rejoicing at the same time. See, folks, our spirit is regenerated. The Spirit of God does indwell us. Now we got humanity. We've got our emotions. We've got our intellect that thinks about all these things. We've got our will. We've got our body that reacts even physiologically to all that happens. But our spirit is not. It is spiritual. It is in league with the Holy Spirit, and therefore we can have divine intervention in our lives. We often quote from Nehemiah and you talk about spiritual battle. Nehemiah went through it, and as they were sorrowing about their sin and how that the nation had fallen again into the same traps they had fallen into, they had repented, and he said to them, "Neither be ye sorry now, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." By the way, it's the joy of the Lord. Now, I'm just touching on this because of time. I promise this, but let me just say that it is God's command for us to have peace and joy. Did you catch that? It's God's expectation. He wants his children. He wants us because he loves us. He wants us to experience his presence. He wants us to experience his very life. But he also wants us to experience joy and peace, not discouragement, darkness, blackness, because of the testimony of who he is to a lost world that is watching us very closely. I'm telling you, parents, children struggle when dad's up one day and then everything's about to collapse the next day. And it's really hard on children when you go from week after week of being discouraged. Where's God? My dad would sometimes get a little discouraged. You could just tell he'd be down. And then he would tell us a little later, "You noticed I got discouraged? I shouldn't have." And he'd talk about how great God is and what God has done. And so I realized he didn't agree with how he was. I mean, that shouldn't have happened. And folks, by a decision of the will, by faith, you can access God's grace to overcome the darkness. Now, you may feel things, but God will enable you. Oftentimes, the verses come to mind, Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord." Does the Bible mean what it says? And again, I say rejoice. "Rejoice evermore," 1 Thessalonians 5:16, and so many other great verses that make it very clear that God is ready to give us the gift of his presence, which gives joy and peace in the midst of what he knows. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's been there. He wept. He grieved. He had pain. He was fatigued. He was thirsty. He was sleepy. He knows. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Isn't that a wonderful thing that we have a high priest that understands us? And therefore, let us go boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy, to find grace to help in time of need. He's right there ready. He is. You see, we sometimes just let ourselves go. And we just sort of go into a cocoon. That's what you have to learn not to do. That's really my main point tonight. Ongoing discouragement is a decision to let the circumstances overtake you. You need to let God overtake you. You may still keep crying. You may still wonder what's going to happen. But God's there. It's our choice. And so it's a decision of the will. And it is a decision that we will rejoice in our salvation. And God, for the kingdom of God, Romans 14:17, is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so we need to make the decision to allow the Holy Spirit to have control. Now, there's a lot more that I would say, but let me just encourage you right now to realize, you know, God will teach you how to learn where the trigger is. You know, the best advice I can give you? Spend an hour each morning with God. I'm telling you, anxiety melts. Stress comes into proportion. Direction comes. Relationship is real. And you make the decision to have joy. You know, you wake up sometime and your mind's racing. Lots of things you got to do. The worst thing you can do is go do a bunch of things. Stop. Get in your quiet place. And spend time looking at the Lord through his word and as you pray. And follow that pattern of praise and all those different things. And I'm telling you, by the time that hour is over, you got a different perspective. And then you will have that real confidence that when that bad news comes, Lord, I've been with you, I'm okay. And you don't get shaken. But you go a number of days without meeting with God, I'm telling you, you're going to ride the roller coaster. And you will be stressed out, and you will have a lot of anxiety. It's a decision. Isn't it wonderful we have a God that can keep us steady, built upon a rock, a God that understands us, a God that understands our feelings, and a God that's ready to meet our needs. Folks, for the sake of our families, for the sake of the testimony of Jesus, and for the sake of our relationship with him, let's determine right now, discouragement is not going to be tolerated over a period of time. That does come, but let's deal with it. And God will help you do it. Let's bow for prayer. So we bow before the Lord here tonight. You'd say, Pastor, just in the short little challenge, I realize that as I face the inevitable pressures, I do know there are times when I just cave in. And I just let myself stay in darkness, and I begin to get insecure and fearful, and everything overwhelms me. And I wonder where God is, and I realize that I just have got to learn by the grace of God not to do that. I really want to have every day be one of joy, one of peace, even through sorrow, even through some very scary things. But I believe my God's real, but God's dealt with me here tonight. And I know that I need to ask him to teach me how not to just fall into that discouragement and depression by the grace, by his grace. And God's shown me some things here tonight. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up if God's shown you some of those things? God bless you. Amen. Amen. Maybe there's someone here tonight, and maybe you're discouraged because you are not really confident about your future. If you were to die, you don't know what would happen. And you'd say, Pastor, God has been working in my heart. I need to have that relationship with him for eternity. I need to know what salvation is. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up if God's worked in your heart here tonight? We'd love to pray for you. Now, Lord, would you work in hearts? It's been a simple message, things that we all know. But, Lord, we get tripped up in this. And, Lord, we cannot afford to go a whole day discouraged. We certainly cannot afford to go a week discouraged. Now, there are a lot of discouraging things, Lord, and you know that, and your heart aches for us. Lord, I thank you for that. And you've made every provision for us to have the power of God in our hearts to be able to have that joy and peace and to have stability even in the midst of rocky times, and we're to count it joy. Now, Lord, would you give that understanding? Would you help each of these folks that raise their hand to understand themselves and know where they make the wrong move? And, Lord, would you enlighten them? Would they spend even greater amounts of time with you consistently every day? Lord, do a genuine work of maturing and strengthening each one and all of us, I pray now. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.